They needed to see the glory that only the high priest used to see once a year inside the holy of holies. John said, you're going to be born again, all right. Born of water and born of spirit is what Jesus said. Jesus said, when I leave this world, oh yeah, you will become the express image of God in this present world. For when men want to see God, they will have a visible representation of God in the face of this earth. Are you still with me this morning? Hallelujah. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Hallelujah. It doesn't stop here. The new birth is necessary. It is necessary. It is necessary. But what God wanted to do was give us more than just a church to join. If God has His way in your life, He's going to take your heart, He's going to take your mind, until you become the expression of God in this world and in this generation. Folks, it matters how you walk throughout the community and the people around you. It matters how you talk and how you look and just your expression. You don't even have to talk. It matters. People can feel it. They see it. Before you ever open your mouth, they see it. They feel it. We are a representation of God in this world. One man and one writer in the Bible saw mankind fallen in deep degradation or hopelessness of sin. But John saw her as a bride robed in righteousness. Something happened from the hog pen until the New Jerusalem. Something happened. What happened, John? He said, all I know is they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Folks, you are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. Get covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Ask Him to cover you with His blood. Wash you with His blood. Hallelujah. Do you still want to go to heaven? Yeah, we all want to go to heaven. They fellowshipped the mystery until the mystery got into them and changed them, until they took on the likeness and the glory of God. The world is waiting for God, but they've got a representation of God in this world. Spiritual evolution. You and I have to change what we used to be, the old man, the old nature. We've got to get out of the flesh and get in the spirit and allow people to see the spirit and the presence of God working in us and through us. It's the church. It's the church. It's the church. That's the representation. It's the church. It's a body of believers. Not perfect people, but forgiven people. Not people that have everything going their way, but people that love God and who are covered by the blood of God. And we're victorious because of the power and the strength of God in us. Paul, writing in 2 Corinthians in 4, was saying, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, he said. What is the treasure he was talking about? You can find it in the 3rd chapter. We are changed, he said, from glory to glory. And we are changed into the same image that we behold. What you eat is what you are. When you look in a mirror, you see a reflection of what you are. But this thing is a different kind of mirror in what you're looking into. You begin to form and begin to change. Why? Because you're looking into the Word of God. You're looking into the things of God. You're getting in right relationship with God. You're putting all pettiness aside. You're putting all anger aside. You're putting all malice aside. You're putting all gossip aside, all hurt aside. And you're allowing the Word of God to reflect not only at you, but in you. So when people look at you, it's reflected back to them and they see God in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got to change. We've got to change. You've got to change. God's not going to change and conform to us. We have to change and conform to the ways of God. You climb a little higher. You cease to be what you were yesterday. You're not the same man or woman that you were yesterday because something has happened in your heart today. You're not the same today and you won't be the same tomorrow because the glory to glory to glory to glory is happening in your life. There's something about deity. There's something about God. The closer you come to Him and fellowship with Him, the more like Him you and I become. Someone said, Brother Chris, how do you know that? Well, I'll just take a little story from the Bible. There was a man. He walked up on top of a mountain. He was there for 40 days or so. He dwelt in the presence of deity. When he got ready to come off of that mountain, he looked so much like God until he had to put a veil over his face, for they couldn't behold the glory of the change. He was so much like God. But when he got down there, there the children of Israel are just been delivered, just gone through the Exodus and getting out of Egypt. And there they are. They formed a golden image into a calf, and they are worshiping and dancing around. He said, what's this calf? I'm going to throw this calf down. Do you know not one man or woman raised a finger? Not one person opened their mouth. Why? Because they looked at him and they beheld the glory of God that he had received and that was a part of on the top of Mount Sinai. The world needs God. The world needs God. The world needs God. Hear me this morning. Who's going to be the midwife to show the world a God that is real? The world needs to see the glory. The world needs to see the power of God working and flowing in you and I. Now it's all these years later, standing there on Bethany's hill, I could see old Mary. Jesus said, y'all go back and tarry until you get it. Get what? This mystery called the Holy Ghost. Not the second person in the Godhead. Not the third. But until you get in you what Mary had in you, that it produced the mighty Savior of the world. I'll tell you what God to give our church. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. It's in you. Look in the mirror. It's in you. Right now is the power and the glory and the mystery of God. It's in you. When you've received His presence, when you've begun to walk in right relationship with Him. When you fall, pick yourself back up. Brush yourself off. God, forgive me and wash me all over again. And begin to walk in the newness of life. It's in you. You got to see this morning. For our church to go to the next level, you got to get a hold of what I'm saying this morning. You've got to, you've got more in you than just a church membership. We've got more in us than just a denomination or to be called a Christian. You are a recipient. You are a holder of the Shekinah glory inside of you. I believe God has more for us. I believe there's more. I believe we can step just a little bit further in our relationship and our walk with God. I believe that God's the highest thing, and He wants from us His praise and worship, and He wants us to reflect Him to the world, to the lost. Somebody be the midwife and reach out and help somebody. Not out yonder in heaven, not over on the other side, but right here and right now in this world. Not perfect, but forgiven. Don't have it all figured out, but I'm pushing towards glory. I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm striving to be better than I was yesterday. I messed up yesterday, but today's a new day. I'm living in the here and now. There's no other representative. There is no other representative. An angel can't do it. The pew you're sitting on right now won't do it. Nope. A building can't do it. I could hear old Mary just thinking, if the Spirit got in me and it produced this and it gets into you, it's going to produce something. Let the Spirit in the presence of God get into you. The world will see God in you. You've got to see what this mystery is. You've got to see what this treasure is. If you've never experienced this mystery or this treasure that I'm talking about, we have a treasure. God got ready to build a house to put His treasure in. He built Himself a house, and this is what Paul said about it. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in this world, and received up into glory. How accurate he was when he said, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest. Nobody can comprehend it. It's beyond human understanding. I believe it. I read it. But sometimes my mind is still unable to comprehend the full mystery of godliness. The question of the ages is this. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Nothing else around you, in you, before you, or behind you matters. You must know what it takes to be saved. You've got to live in right relationship for yourself, not for anybody else, but for yourself. Whitman, you're not going to make it to heaven because your mama prayed for you, son. You're going to make it to heaven because you have a relationship with God Almighty. You've got to do it for yourself. You've got to live for God for yourself. When I think about the fact that there are people, if you ask them if they're saved, they answer, yes, well, I spoke in tongues on so many years ago. But what hasn't happened in you is my question, is that there hasn't been any change inside of you since you received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, my hair, Brother Chris, is different, and my clothes are different, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. And there, you know, I'm just here to tell you this more. I'm not here to ruffle feathers, if you understand what I'm saying, but there's more to it than all of that. It's not on the outside, it's on the inside. What's on the inside of my heart? Is it dirty and black and rotten, or is it pure and clean and holy? Am I trying to be like Christ? Or do I have a secret agenda? I'll get them back. You just wait. Well, I love you, brother, and then you're stabbing them in the back on the other side. What's in the heart? What's in the heart? There's more to it. There's more to it. There's something that has to change in you and I. Stop going through the motions. Stop acting like you love somebody. You don't love somebody unless it's in the heart. Words are shallow. Stop being shallow. What's in your heart? Hallelujah. If you begin to take on the Spirit and the likeness and the attitude of God until it's resident in your life, until when the world looks at you, they see more than your church. They see more than your financial status. or your last name. Until they see the glory of the mystery inside of your tabernacle. We have a treasure. I don't want you, anyone, to misunderstand me this morning, but the world needs to see more than just another church to join. They need to see more than that. They need to see more than another denomination. They need to see a representative of a blind-eyed healer. They need to see the representative of the lame man walker. They need to see a representative of a dumb tongue talking person. They need to see the healer and the mystery of God in the flesh. I'm glad that when he got ready to leave this world, that he didn't take all of his glory with him. The mystery of godliness did not ascend and stay ascended at Bethany. Paul picked it up a little time later. He said, even the mystery which hath been from the ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known. What is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Gentiles? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is Christ in you, the hope of heaven. Who wants to go to heaven still? You got to have Christ in you. You reflect. What you eat is what you are. Not just to get to heaven, but the will of heaven is this: our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Come means to go somewhere. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The desire of heaven. The desire of God. The desire of glory. Is enough of this mystery getting in you until you take on the transformation, being changed into the likeness and glory of God. Hallelujah. We've got to be changed. Don't judge somebody else in their transformation or their spiritual evolution. Well, you know, they've been going to church for such and such. They ought to be. You don't know where they've been, what they've been through. We're here to encourage one another. We're here to be a body, a bride, together, unity, love, peace. You know, the baby that was crying a while ago, you don't go take 20-ounce T-bone steak and say, hey, buddy, you eat this. You probably kill him if you force feed it down his throat. But you say, hey, here's some juice. Here's some Jell-O. Here's some love and some peace. Here's some milk. And you nurture until they get to the age where they can receive. Begin to take on more. We've got to change. We've got to have more. It says, beloved now. Beloved now. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know. We know. Look at somebody and say, we know. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's the last scripture, as far as I can find, throughout the entire Bible where we are referred to as the sons of God. But after a while, John says, we cease to be just sons of God, and the finished product takes place, and we become the bride of Christ. Spiritual evolution. There is a change that takes place in you, in you, in you. Look in the mirror and see what's reflected back. Do you see love when you look in the mirror? Not the pretty person that you are and making sure your eyebrows are all perfect and you're shaved and your hair is groomed and you have on the right set of clothes. What do you see spiritually looking back at you? Is it the mystery, the glory of God, or is it a monster? Hallelujah. If you think God's going to marry somebody that's full of jealousy and hatred and envy and strife, I know many people try to take care of the outward appearance and what people see. As long as people see a good front or a good product, you know, they'll believe that I am this person. It's when you begin to dive in deeper that you find out the true nature of a person. And I'm encouraging you, take care of the outside. Do all of that. But also take care of the inside. No more bitterness. No more hatred. No more strife. No more murders. You know, there are murderers here in this building. Yeah. You might be sitting next to a murderer, Whitman. Look at him, goes, you don't know. Maybe he hasn't murdered somebody physically, but emotionally, you've killed somebody. Maybe you've tore someone's confidence down. No more of that. No more blasphemies, no more fornications. Don't let malice be named among you. Don't let envy be named among you. For we cannot be the true bride of Christ if you are anything less than what the bridegroom is. Sister Petrie, I like what Pastor did this morning. I think we ought to make a habit of that. Could you look up Matthew for me, 15? You might already have it. I think I wrote it down. Matthew 15, verse 19. Brother Brian, you can come to the keyboard. For out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. The first part of verse 20 says, for these are the things which defile a man. Evil thoughts, evil words, evil deeds. But if you'd stand to your feet all over the building this morning. I don't want to just go through the motions of living for God. Put on a front for everybody to see. Well, he has his Bible. He goes to church. I want people to see when they look at me a reflection of what Jesus is and what Jesus has done in my life. I want them to look at me and say, hey, what's different about that big guy? Yeah, he's big, but there's something different about him. I want some of that. And they can have it. It's called Jesus. It's called getting in right relationship with God. I wonder if right where you are, if you'd join the hands of your neighbor. Join the hands of your neighbor and just lift it up to heaven right now. And just begin to pray, Lord, if there's anything that's holding me back from what I'm supposed to be in you, Jesus. If there's anything, God, that's keeping me from reflecting your love and your peace and your joy and your mercy to others, wash me right now. Cover me in your blood. Forgive me for all of my sins. Fill me with your presence, Lord. Lord, I realize that that's not